Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Eddie. Well, it's so hard to come. I know everybody would stand outside. You don't want to come in on a night like this. Have outside church, right? The only problem is you can't change the temperature. Once you get out there and it starts getting chilly, then everybody would be quick to want to go home. But super thankful for the beautiful day. And tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7 of a message titled Relationship or Doctrine. Relationship or Doctrine. I've been asked to be a part of the funeral on Saturday for the person that passed away, and there's going to be a Catholic priest also that's going to be, it's a family friend. And, you know, you don't realize sometimes if you don't, you know, if you're involved in, let's just say you grew up Southern Baptist, you grew up church, doesn't matter if it's Church of God, doesn't matter. But, yes, Lord, I'm like Samuel. Yes, Lord, I'm listening. But when you grow up like I did, there is a real easy ability to get caught in knowing doctrine. You know, my parents, as a child, we did the catechism. Many people aware what the catechism is. By the way, the Southern Baptists had catechism years ago. That was part of the time at which Southern Baptists had a solid doctrine. What the catechism is, I've said it maybe a few times in the 16 years here, but catechism is like one of the first questions is, who made you? God. Second question, what else did God make? God made all things. Three, why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. Why ought we to glorify God? Because he made me and takes care of me. But what it is, it's systematic theology. Now, systematic theology is good. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say systematic theology? Okay, what that is the framework and the structure for what you believe and why you believe it. You can believe it all day long, but if you can't go out there and contend and defend for the faith, it's wonderful that you may say, I'm a sold-out believer, but they will deconstruct your faith. And this is one of the big things, especially in college right now. Many years ago, my dad got a book. He read it. I read it. But it was Why Christian Kids Leave the Faith. Now, this has been about 20 or 25 years ago that this statistic was so take this in mind. By then, over 80% of children in Southern Baptist churches within 2 years had left the faith after graduating from high school. By the way, that's 20 to 25, possibly a few, might upwards of 30 years ago. Anybody believe that that statistic would be the same now? I would believe it would probably be much higher. And what, at that point, they were attributing this to was the lack of systematic theology in Sunday school growing up, in their Sunday school classes as they started, you know, to get in late, the high school years and all that. What happens is it's very easy to stay in shallow water. Why is it easy? It's easy to stay in shallow water because not only is it easy, but you have a much less potential for making waves. Now, y'all know me. If you don't like solid doctrinal truth, that door opens both ways. If you've got a problem with solid doctrinal truth, either the church would vote as a whole and they decided that they don't want anything to do with it, don't worry. This man will load up the entourage here and we'll roll to the house. Because that is not something that's up for debate. Theology is imperative in the living out your faith and your love for Christ with fear and trembling. It is not a debatable subject. The same way that believing that Jesus had a family and all these things that you hear in some of these shows on these channels that put out this heresy, in my opinion, These are indispensable truths, the same way that Jesus Christ was virgin born. It's not up for debate. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't care. It's not up for debate. But what happens is out of a fear that someone may get offended, they have watered down doctrine and theology so much so that I actually attribute it to, I call it credit card thickness, theologically. So our kids, right? Not only do we send them to school, right, thinking, and I've heard this statement out of people's mouths, please don't ever repeat this to me. Oh, well, you know, we've got to have our kids on a mission field. Yes, we do. But you don't send someone to a mission field until they're prepared. They're not prepared because as they are growing up, they have how much time with you every day? You ready? The average face-to-face time, this has been 10 years ago, on an average day with a child is 20 minutes. So let's say we're going to be generous. Let's say you have an hour of deep, intimate, one-on-one time. And by the way, that's part of your Bible study too at the house, or whether you do reading like we do out of the Bible at night. We have a devotion in the morning we do from Answers in Genesis, and then we do our Proverbs at night. So let's just say that most of that is, you know, biblical. So, right, so you have biblical teaching part in that. You're going to send them for how long every day? Is it a minimum of 6 hours a day? Into an environment that is what? Contradictory in most cases to everything that we are and what we represent. But they're on the mission field. They're going to really make huge impacts, aren't they? I'm sorry, but you might want to tell yourself all kinds of stories. They're not prepared for that mission field yet. I'm sorry, they're not. So what happens is they spend 6 hours, but not only that, you don't even think. That 6 hours is just the school environment. That's not including the social media environment and all these other things that are working tirelessly to undo the fabric of everything that we naively believe we want our children to become. Unable to do it because we don't even have the amount of time necessary devoted to one-on-one time, because it's not like the old days where people homeschooled and you had your children with you working and you spent large amounts of time doing what Scripture says to do what with the truth? Impress the truth on your heart. Take a flat piece of sheet metal at GM, Ford, or any other production company. Do you know how they make fenders? Do you know how they make body panels? There are things upwards sometimes of 20 to 30 to 50 tons that take that sorry no-count metal that's not worth 10 cents, and it, bam, slams down on that metal. And what does that do? It makes an impression in it. It impresses the maker's desired impression on that metal. That is what Scripture is telling us, but it takes time and it takes pressure, meaning it takes time and it takes an overt act of our will to willingly do that with our children. They're not prepared for this. So they go out into this mission field completely unprepared. They have some semblance of religion, whether it's some doctrinal understanding. Hopefully they have a relationship with Christ, but not being effectively prepared to go out in that mission field is why you have numbers like that, because those college professors don't naively go in there and naively try to undo what you have tried to do. They have been trained to do it. They're very good at what they do. They know how to throw curveballs at your kids that end up making them, in some cases, completely without question, abandon the faith. And God forbid you're in a medical field or a very heady type of environment, because they're even more so ardent in those environments. But tonight we're going to look at the fact and just kind of the differentiation between relationship versus doctrine. You know, a relationship with Jesus Christ, if someone truly is walking with Christ and they're reading God's word, what's going to happen? God's going to grow them exponentially, meaning with multipliers. They are going to grow. God is going to not only prepare them, God's going to train them, God's going to equip them. God's going to do what God promises to do. But if you have doctrine, but you have no relationship, you've got what? In some cases, a heady lost person, meaning they're spiritually heady. They can talk to you about things. They can talk to you about all these spiritual things. They can pray spiritually. They sound spiritually. Everything looks wonderful. But what is a relationship versus doctrine? Relationship is life. Life everlasting. Doctrine will send you or I straight to hell in a handbasket. And it's very important for us to recognize, I firmly believe, the importance of both of them is equally important. But if you could only pick one tonight, I would encourage you, if you ever had somebody ask you in a conversation, would you pick doctrine or relationship? Well, I'm picking a relationship. I want to get up and follow Jesus. I don't want to stand there knowing everything about him, telling people about how I met Jesus but never followed him, because it's two totally parallel universes for that matter. And by the way, it's an entirely different zip code one day in death. But I hope you found Mark chapter 7. We're going to look again at verse 6 and 7 tonight. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. He answered them, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines human commands. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight, God, for the beauty of your word, the beauty of the challenge of it, the conviction of it, all that it does, Lord. Father, hide me behind the cross tonight that you may be glorified, lifted up, honored, our King, our Lord, our God. Father, move in our hearts and whatever it is, Lord, that you need to do. All of us are in such different places, but Father, we are one through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, being brought from objects of your wrath to objects of your mercy. And we just praise and thank you for that gift tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As a matter of fact, I could really have added verse 8 to that, but let me just read it real quickly for you. It says, abandoning the command of God, you hold on to human traditions. What is the difference versus holding on to human tradition or honoring the Lord? Parallel universes, once again. If you love the Lord, what are you going to do? You're going to keep his commandments, right? So that is not an abandonment or an abdication of it. It is actually the manifestation of walking in the fullness of Christ. It's so sad, though, because, again, I've seen people steeped in doctrine, steeped in religion, that have abandoned, as that scripture says down there in verse 8, that they've abandoned the commands of God. And that's one of those reasons that I continue to reiterate, meaning I continue to emphasize. By the way, church, one of the reasons that I use words that maybe you've not heard, my dad taught me something one time, and you know what he said? He said, son, he said, people are only going to rise to the level that you are, okay? We all want to learn. I hope you do. I would say you're not here tonight unless you want to learn. We want to learn. We want to grow spiritually. We want to not remain stagnant. We don't want to remain in this place. So the reason that sometimes I use these things, I'm hoping you'll grow, you'll learn. Really good words that sometimes a basic word can say it, but when you think about abdicating is actually it's a great window into a, instead of saying, well, you leave the throne, you leave that place God's told you. Abdicating means you had that responsibility, you owned it, and you have abandoned that. So some of these words I use, I'm hoping that will help you understand better, but also help you grow and your ability to understand and also to explain to other people. But in verse 6, listen to that first part of it again. His answer to them, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you, his hypocrites, as it was written. So we know this is a prophetical sense that we see this, that is being, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, coming to fulfillment. He said, these people honor me with their lips. Sounds good at first, doesn't it, on the surface. They honor me with their lips. Recently, I had a person that I had had worked with and had shared the time that I got to work with him, how awesome it was to be able to work with a Christian and how refreshing it was and all of these things. Only for yesterday, I was in another little place, but I was doing work and I was able to hear, and I began to hear things that should not be being said by someone who had said they rejoiced so much about being able to be around other Christians. I'm not a judge. I'm not the judge. But out of the mouth is the wellspring of the soul. And when there are things that are coming out of the mouth that shouldn't be, Scripture says this should not be. What does Scripture say with words? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, if you find yourself at a place where things are coming out that should not be, what a great time to do what? Step back. See what's going on. Where is this rooted from? Am I frustrated? Have I been aggravated? Have I not been in the Word? Is God just revealing to me the battle that I'm having within, that I'm still trying to hang on to this world and the life in Christ? You know, maybe it's a growing period, but I think it's really important for us not to be deceived, though, and believe that we can act, look, talk, and behave however we want to, and it's not an issue spiritually, because the same person I'm hearing inviting people to the church they attend. Church, I'm going to tell you something that I've learned in the world right now, especially with these people that have zero church experience. When you begin to invite them and then 20 minutes later they're hearing things come out of your mouth, they are real quick to go, I don't want nothing to do with it. Because what people want right now is genuine. People are sick and tired, especially these young people. They're sick and tired of being told they're winners. They're sick and tired of having this facade of life that made life out to be really easy, and they were sheltered from all the troubles and battles and struggles. They want genuine now. Even if genuine is raw and real, they're wanting that right now. So if you are trying to be a chameleon with your walk with Christ at work, I want to encourage you. I would be silent about the things of the Lord right now, and why don't you get some things up here straightened out so that you don't do more damage to the kingdom than you hope you can do help for it. Very, very important to do that. We're all a work in progress. Nobody's got it figured out. I recognize we all have bad days. But when things start flowing out that are not of the Lord and are not going to grow and advance the kingdom, we've got to be very, very careful, because we can do great damage to the kingdom. But this morning, the first thing tonight, sorry, I want to ask you is really a question. Are you honoring the Lord from a changed heart in the first one? Are you honoring the Lord from a changed heart? Has your life been transformed? Is the picture right there of verse 6? These people honor me with their lips. Do your lips honor the Lord? Is a transformed heart why you are saying and doing the things you do? Or is that coming from your doctrinal knowledge? Because why? Well, that's just the way it's always been. We just go to church. That's just kind of the way it is. Anybody ever at that place in your lifetime? I was. Why? Went to church because that's what you do. I wasn't at church because I was lost and I knew Jesus Christ was my only hope, and that was the only hope to be reconciled to the Father. That was the only way that God in his infinite love and mercy through the substitutionary atonement of Christ Jesus and the work of salvation reunited me through the confession of sin, placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and being united, locked in fellowship with the Father. That wasn't why I was there. I was there because that's what you do. That's the way I grew up. So I wasn't there with the right motives. Thank you, Lord, that God in his infinite mercy so faithfully, gracefully, lovingly, and compassionately drew me to himself at 29 years old. Before that, I was never there for the right motives. I was there because I was doctrinally taught to be religious. Tonight, are you honoring the Lord tonight from a heart that's been changed? A heart, you ready? That doesn't love doctrine so you can sound church or Christian. You love doctrine and you love truth because you can't help but want to know more of the Father. You want to fellowship with him in a deeper, more intimate way. You want to grow so that you might be a greater ambassador for the kingdom that goes out and shares, proclaims, and is what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You're able to go out there and present the gospel if someone asked you. You're able to minister to them. You're able to disciple them because you have invested the time in growing. Not, well, I got my feet in the water, I like it here, I'll put a chair down, and this is all I'm gonna ever do. By the way, that is completely and utterly biblically wrong. That is sinful. Be a hearer of the word and so deceive ourselves. Don't just be one. Be a doer also. God has called us to grow. God has called us to be conformed. The scriptural picture of putting on the full armor of God is not sitting up in a bathing suit on a chair at the beach going, this is all I ever want. This is wonderful. I'm going to stay at this place of euphoria and elation. No, that's a place of disobedience. But you'll never be able to be an incredible soul winner for the kingdom or an incredibly faithful missionary in the place that you are right now. Doesn't mean you have to go to a foreign land. Anybody can be, and everybody is called to be missionaries. We're all called to be that every single day. But you're not going to do that effectively if you've not grown in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, grown in your walk with Christ, and grown in your doctrinal understanding out of a desire and a love for the Lord is what's the motivating factor for that. Not to sound spiritual. And then the second part of verse 6 right here. So these people honor me with their lips, ready? But their heart is far from me. Ooh. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They like spiritual, but it's not motivated because they love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. No, they are religious. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this. A heart far from the Lord can know all about the truth. A heart far from the Lord can know all about the truth. You really mean that people can know that Jesus died on the cross, know that Jesus 3 days later rose from the grave and that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, that he's going to come back one day and take us home? And you mean we can know all of that and still die lost? Absolutely. Absolutely you can. Because until you confess and profess, confess that the Lord is the Lord, that he died on the cross, profess the name of Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your King, you are lost and I am lost. But until I understood the need for salvation, as I told you God did in August of 2000, I was lost. I was without hope. I had knowledge, but there was no relationship with that God that I knew in name. Very, very important. But see, a heart far from the Lord can know all about it. That's why we got to be really careful, because I can't tell you the number of times people thought I was very spiritual and religious when I was young, and what a great Christian kid. I was young, went to visitation with my dad, knew all about it. But my heart was far from the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. I had no clue what it was to walk and to fellowship with God. Very, very important for us to recognize two polar opposite universes. One of the great ways to get an, even a discernment if you're ministering to someone, you actually can work with them and help develop that concept with someone who's religious in a very, very, very non-confrontational way. How did that happen? It happens when you invest the time with them, first of all. But long before that, you committed to prayer and you got in God's word as God gave you discernment. God, I'm really have a burden for such and such. I believe I see them extremely religious, but God, I've not seen the footprints of your work in their life. And God, I want to minister to them. I don't want to go set them straight. I don't want to go in there with a spiritual bazooka and go blow them. No, God, I want to do it in a loving and compassionate way because my heart aches for them. Because God, I know what it's like to be in that position. I know what it's like to be in a relationship with the Lord, but I also know what it's like to be religious. But see, when we start praying and we start effectively using the truth of God's word as a ministering agent of Christ, not only praying effectively, but us obediently being in God's word, well, God leading you to see that in the first place is a blessing and a gift from God. He's putting up ministries. But if you're not ever going to seek his face with all your heart, not only is he not going to be found, but you're not being in God's word, you're not spending time growing in the word, growing in your faith, growing in your ability to feel and hear the Holy Spirit leading you as you get on your face before God in prayer. You won't even ever see it in the first place. Because again, these are gifts from God. These are things that God entrusts us with. These aren't things he throws around. No, God entrusts his people as they seek his face with a greater understanding of him, a greater and more deep relationship and fellowship with him as we seek him. It is really an awesome part of God blessing our desire to know him and to grow in our walk with him. But then verse 7, so they worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines human commands. So stop there just a second. That one hits home. That is AKA also known as legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is the belief system that, you know what, if I don't do this and I do that and I wear this and I act like this, God's going to love me more. And oh, look at me. You know, God loves me more because look, I'm not like them. Oh, I don't read that Bible. Oh, no, I read, and this is what I, and look at the way we talk and look what we wear and look how spiritual we are. And oh, wait a second. Verse 7, they worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines human commands. I believe we should dress presentable at church. I don't think we should come in the church half-dressed. But I can assure you, church, Jesus didn't wear a suit. What did he wear? A robe. He was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. I would say he looked like everybody else. What happens sometimes is we get so inundated and formed in a doctrinal belief system that we begin to adopt things that have no spiritual or biblical truth or validity to it. But we began to adopt and believe these things as if they are foundational truths. Church, we don't want human traditions passed. It's wonderful. Traditions are great. But I'm not talking about these things right here in a church sense. I'm talking about knowing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and something that's not biblical that we've become to believe is biblical. I have seen it many times in my life. Anybody else? Yeah. It's very scary, isn't it? Because all of us can fall victim to that. And it's especially dangerous in churches where it's not like Longview, where Longview desires truth and praise God for that. So if we adopted something that we go, wait a second, this is not biblical. We need to be careful with this thing. If somebody brings that up, we're gonna address it. We're going to step back. We're going to pray about it. We're going to let God lead us. Amen? That's what we want to do because our desire is love, to honor, to glorify, and to serve Christ, period. I don't care about looking religious. I don't want it. Matter of fact, I don't want to look religious. I want to look like a follower of Jesus Christ that loves him passionately. That's what I want. Somebody came in the other day and they were like, oh, are you a this or a that? I said, well, let me tell you what I am. I'm a man that loves the Lord and I want to serve him and I want to honor him. That's what I am. And you could tell it was kind of like, okay. Because they were going on about doctrine. And it was some people from another church that were coming in and talking about, you know, churched, meaning basically this is what I'm defined by. I said, I'm not defined by being, I'm defined as being a follower of Jesus Christ. Number one, that's what I want to be defined as. I don't want to be defined as someone who is focused or micro-focused or dogmatic about doctrine. I want to be dogmatic about the truth of the gospel and God's desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in a transforming way because Scripture says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want my mind renewed daily. Anybody else? See, I want a relationship, and in that relationship is the transforming work of God imparted, given to us as followers of Christ. And as we dig and we seek him with all of our hearts, he gives us more of that. He takes us, in the sense, in a relationship that is so deep, so intimate, it's as if we're sitting in the boat with Jesus when he's out there with the disciples and all of the other distractions are removed. That's what it feels like. But if you don't seek him like that, you're not going to experience that. If you have all the religious things and you want everybody to, okay, I want to know this so they think I'm smarter, I'm really super religious, and I want to know lots of verses so everybody, wait, that's the wrong, first of all, that's the wrong motivation for it. I hope if you want to learn verses, not so people don't think you're spiritually ignorant. I hope you're desiring to learn them so that when needed, you can share those with others to minister to other people. If you have verses memorized because your desire ultimately is inside, whether you admit it to yourself or not, a desire for people to not think that you're spiritually immature, that's not a motivation at all. But when you have a central, ultimate passion and desire to glorify Christ, your motivations are in the right place. When you want to know those verses so that if someone needs encouraged, you can share that with them, you're in the right place. God's going to honor that in a mighty way. And the third and final thing tonight I want to share with you is this. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, church, it's only religion. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is only religion. And it gets you absolutely nothing. Why it is so imperative and why I continue reiterating over and over and over and over again the absolute necessity of scripture reading daily. Not just Monday through Friday, not just every other day, not just when we have time. As a matter of fact, I would be late to work before I'm going to miss being able to get in the presence of God because the day's never going to go the way it needs to be. So I'd encourage you to be late before you would miss getting in the presence of the... Let me just encourage you in this. Be faithful in your work, so just get up a little bit earlier because it doesn't take long. And I'm going to tell you, what an awesome privilege to lose a little bit of sleep for the one that hung on the cross for us. What a privilege of being able to get up and spend time with that God. And if it just takes you backing up your clock for 15 or 20 minutes, I assure you, you're not only not going to die from it, but you're not going to be excessively tired because you honored the Lord with your life and your time. As a matter of fact, I would go to the other extreme and say, I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's going to make sure that you're not tired all day. God's going to give you an overwhelming Holy Spirit injection of energy that's going to blow your mind. Why? Because God honors people that are obedient to him. That's what we see fundamentally scripture. As a matter of fact, I'm reading right now, and it's, I think it's Deuteronomy, with the blessings and the curses, right? And you just watch this, and God just spells it out. Literally, not only spells it out, but it's like going to a movie when I was a kid when they had the projectors, you know, right? Versus now, when you go in there and it's not only high definition, but what is that big one? The really good one, IMAX. It's IMAX. It's the difference. It's that versus IMAX. God gives such clarity to truth when you seek him. It's beyond a shadow. Nothing like it. As you grow, as we love, we honor, and we serve him. But see, without that relationship with Jesus, church is just religion. And that's why it is so important when we speak with someone about religion that we just don't go in there and because they say they love, you know, oh, I love God, I'm going to heaven one day. Qualify that. Oh, wow, I'd love to hear about when you came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the first statement, that's wonderful, I love God. Well, that's great, I think that's what... First of all, you don't even know because you haven't even been able to qualify what God means to them. They may pop out with, well, God means this or that or the other that's completely unbiblical. And what you've done is we've missed an opportunity then to be able to share truth with them because, oh, we just assumed because they said they loved God that they're a Christian. Don't assume that. We can't assume that. It's much too important. Do it as an opportunity because people will brag, meaning they're going to brag on what God's done in their life if you qualify that. Oh, wow, I want to hear about when you came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. I'd love to hear. And if they go, what? What do you know? Go back to milk. Go back to the foundational things, because they may not even know. They may only know that there's a God out there, but have no idea what Jesus Christ is, who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ has done for them, and what Jesus Christ desires to do through what he's done for them, which is to restore them in fellowship with the Father. Imagine the horror if you did that and then recognized, wow, if I hadn't qualified that, they would have walked out here as lost as lost, and I would have missed the opportunity to share Christ with them because I just assumed. Never assume anything. Never. Actually, I'll tell you what, if you want to assume anything, pretend everybody's lost and share Jesus with them. If that assumption needs to be done, assume the other way versus, oh, I think everything's okay. Okay, again tonight, one, are you honoring the Lord from a changed heart? Is what you're doing tonight motivated out of what God's done for you? I'm so thankful for what God's done to me that I can't do anything but serve him. I want to live for him. I want to glorify him. God has transformed my heart, and my desire is to honor, to glorify, to live for, to serve, to grow, to be a part of. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. Is that your desire tonight? And then number two, a heart far from the Lord and know all about the truth. One of the other things, again, so very important for us. We know it, but what has it done? If we've not been transformed, if we're not being changed, if we're not being daily conformed into his likeness, step back. Do a reassessment. You might need to get on your face before the Lord and say, God, have I truly come to know you as Lord and Savior? God, reveal to me. I know your greatest desire for me is to know you. God, reveal the condition of my heart. Great prayer to pray. And then third and final thing again, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's only religion. Religion is one of the most dangerous things on the planet. Again, relationship with Jesus Christ is where it's at. It's a fundamental. It's an indisputable. There is no such thing as someone who loves God, who's passionately in love with the Lord, but doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. That's the same thing as saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but that Holy Spirit stuff, I don't want nothing to do with that. It makes me nervous. I told God, you can hold back on the Holy Spirit thing, but I'm just so thankful for what, no. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, again, indispensable truths. One, you cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ that does not have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. Amen? That is an indispensable truth. It's something that is not up for debate. And it's so awesome, though. I could not even imagine being a believer that did not walk in the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. The amazing ability and the discernment that the Spirit of God will give us, the amazing work of the Spirit at digging God's Word as God affirms truth or sometimes reveals that what we've seen or heard is not truth. Get in God's Word. Be a what? Starts with a B. Berean. Be a Berean. Get in the Word. When you hear something, you hear some, watch something on TV, don't go, you know, that's, hey, God's a preacher, so maybe it, no. Look in the Word. What does the Word say about it? Because that is the unchallenged truth. That is by far nothing in the world is ever going to give you a truth that God's Word. God's Word is the picture of truth. It is the Word of God. And I pray tonight as you think about these things and how it affects relationship versus doctrine. Yes, doctrine's wonderful and it's important, but it cannot happen without a relationship. They are both, honestly, they're just intertwined with one another. You cannot have, though, doctrine without a relationship. Keep that in mind, and as you talk to people, they may sound religious. Qualify it. Hey, share with me when Jesus Christ transformed you, saved you, changed you, whatever you want to say. Great, great opener, though, because once they've said that, it opens the door to qualify it, and then potentially be able to share a truth that they may not know. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, God, for truth. God, thank you as your word speaks to everything we will ever confront or will confront. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would be people that seek to have a transforming relationship with you and daily choose this day whom we will serve. Father, I pray that, yes, we will love truth and love to seek out and grow in our doctrinal understanding of truth. But, Father, the relationship with you would be the most important thing, that we would delight ourselves in you. Father, as we seek you, as we cry out to you, sometimes in maybe frustration or even anger at times, God, I thank you. You hear our pleas. You hear our cries. You are so loving. You are so compassionate. You're so long-suffering, Father. I pray during this invitation for whatever it is that you've laid on hearts, Lord, as your Holy Spirit works in us and conditions us and convicts us, Father, that we would hear whatever it is, but not just be a hearer, that we would respond to it, be a doer also. God, anything that needs to be dealt with as far as anger and bitterness, resentment, don't let any of those bitter roots take root in us, Father, that we would confess that as the sin it is and commit to praying blessings on ones that have hurt us or ones that have abused us. God, I know that you have such an awesome plan to save those that even have messed up so bad in life. You are such an awesome, wonder-working, loving, compassionate, and merciful God. I pray for ones tonight, Lord, that don't know you as Lord and Savior. I pray tonight, Lord, as somebody may be watching online tonight that's hearing the gospel truth for the first time, or in the coming months may, I pray that they would recognize that your Spirit would give them understanding of their lost state, that they would place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, ask him to be their Savior, the Lord of their life, and would get involved in a Bible study, get involved in a church locally, wherever they're at, Father. You may be glorified in their lives, God. Thank you so much again for the work that you're doing. God, so thankful for that gift of salvation, for the work of Christ, for the love of Christ.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.